too. I feel like we're going through a time of life right now that people ask you things, and the answer kind of comes out that way. It's, you know what? I would think this, I would think that, but let's see how it goes. Because it seems like we had this COVID-19 come, and all along that walk, it would look different than it did the day before. There'd be a new discovery or a new statistic that would come out, and we'd kind of change the way we think about it. And then politics also got involved. Whoa, does that ever change the way you look at things? And just when you think, well, we've had a lot of discoveries, maybe we know what tomorrow's going to bring, now we have this string of violence that's going on across the nation. In here in Arizona, this afternoon, we just had declared a curfew for 8 p.m. In fact, I kind of panicked in my head to start with because I thought, oh no, we start at 7? How are we going to get out of here and get home by 8, you know? And well, one of the things we discovered later on as details started to come out is that religious services, if you're caught out after 8 for the purpose of religious services, that's supposed to be okay. But Gary is probably sitting back there going, man, Jerry, I'm glad it dawned on you to be here at 6. Because I was thinking that tonight started at a different time for some reason. I want to thank my brother. I guess he goes by Alvin a lot now, but I've called him Jay since I was young. And I want to thank him for the sermon that he brought to Phone Church this morning. You know, it's funny, you get on a line of thought. You start feeling the Spirit and knowing what you're supposed to talk about, and yet you always think and pray and question that and make sure that it's not something else you're detecting, you know, that it's not like a pet peeve or, you know, those things we have to, that can't be the motivation. We need the Spirit of God to guide us in everything, especially in these days where we constantly say, well, let's see how it goes. There are certain things we can depend on in this life, and that's really what I want to talk about tonight. So there are some things we don't have to wait and see how it goes. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about time tonight as I go through. But I'm going to start with a scripture that actually I was led to years and years ago. Cindy and I were up at the temple lot in Independence, and somebody asked us to get up and sing song number 215. Come Thou Fount. And as I was looking through it and thinking through it and thinking through the harmony and stuff, I was looking at that word Ebenezer and going, wasn't real clear to me at the time. And so I looked up this scripture, and I'm going to just read a little excerpt out of the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel. 7th chapter of 1 Samuel, I'm going to start with verse 7. Let me read through verse 12. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And that's the best place to start. I feel like every one of us has experienced a sure testimony of that in some way, in some personal way. And you know that the Lord has been our help. The Lord has been your help personally. In the past, as we look back, you know, I thank Adam too, because he actually helped introduce a lot of the things I was thinking about also with the things he had to say this morning. This stone of help is Ebenezer actually just means stone of help. But here they were recognizing that their stone of help all up until that day had been the Lord. And that it took place in a way that it showed that it was also the Lord and not their own strength. It was the Lord that thundered against them and discomforted them. It was his power that overthrew them, and he used these people to do it, as well as his elements. The things that we feel helpless to control, he does control. He does control. And I want to turn over to Lamentations, the third chapter. I believe that is Jeremiah. Lamentations, the third chapter. I'm going to start with verse 19. Remember that I'm reading in the Old Testament. Remember what Adam, one of the questions he asked this morning about, what's this deal that God was so angry and hateful and destructive in the Old Testament, and then now he's supposed to be full of love in the New Testament? You know, what is that? Well, sometimes I caution you, in a question is built in a misconception. They're saying something as part of the question that they're not asking you that, but they're making the statement that God changed in some way, that he was cruel. But let me start here. Lamentations, third chapter, verse 19. I'm going to read through 26. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not condemned, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is good. He has been in the past. Yes, he was good in the Old Testament. And he has been our stone of help in the past. He has been our stone of help in this day. And let me go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 24. And this is talking about something that sometimes, well, honestly, I've heard my own children say, you know, I don't like talking about this. And I think back, I'm not sure I liked talking about end times when I was a kid. There was too much stuff I wanted to do. I wanted to have a life. I didn't want to die young. I didn't want the world to end before I got to get where I wanted to go. I didn't like it. And I'm not necessarily wanting to talk about that these things we're experiencing right now are signs that this is the end. That's not my purpose. My purpose in reading this is about time. And my purpose in reading this is about consistency. That the Lord doesn't change, that stone of help in the past will be the stone of help through all of our lives, no matter how long you live, no matter how long the earth lasts. Christ is still our stone of health. So let me start reading here on verse 24. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And yeah, I did want to read that now, but I didn't need to talk about some of the things I did. I wasn't ready, but that's okay. We'll see how it goes. Let me move on then to Matthew 24, and that's when I was going to talk about some of these end time things. But this is important here because this is talking about a difference. It talks about hearing these things and doing what he says. When we hear what he says and we do it, that is building upon that rock, which is Jesus. And so we partake of that everlasting stone of help, that thing that doesn't move, that is consistently our help throughout eternity. So I said, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, let me start with verse 29. And I'm going to read through 39. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trump, send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and pushes forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I think about this and the perpetual state of, I'm going to call it slumber, that all mankind drifts into as every day drifts into the next and everything goes right. As long as we're not disturbed and things go as I thought I had them planned, we get comfortable. We become content. And we slumber. We're not really looking. But things like that are going on now are gifts. And it says here that, you know, in the day that Christ comes, there will be this tribulation before. And I think that's mercy. And he's shown that mercy consistently. If you read through Isaiah, and that's just an example because you can read Ezekiel and Jeremiah, all of them, but read through Isaiah and see how many times the Lord spoke to the children of Israel. Consistently, he spoke to them and he tried to deliver a message. And every so often, he would also deliver a little wake-up call. He would cause things to go wrong in battle. They took the Ark of Covenant from them. So many things happened that were disturbing to them, to try to stop them, wake them up, and get them to listen. That's God's mercy, because he's always been good to us. He's always been good to us. He's always tried. But yet, as this talks about, in the days of Noah, when the flood came, the people that would not listen, the people that would not hear, would not see, they didn't know what was going to happen. They wouldn't pay attention. They wouldn't heed the warnings. And when the floods came, which, by the way, they had never seen before, when the floods came, the ark was closed. It was too late. And that's what it will be like when Christ comes back. So pay attention. Be comforted, but pay attention. Be awake. See when we have troubles that the Lord is merciful, and that is part of it. That's part of it. I'm going to turn over to Psalms 103. Lest we slumber. I love the way this psalm starts. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? So far, it's, you know, it's praising God and it's talking about all that he does for us. And Adam talked this morning about something that's been kind of a trend right now, or at least fearfully it looks that way, where some of the modern gospel singers are turning away. You know, it's easy for me to sit back and judge. I don't know all about it. I suspect, though, in simplicity, is that they're not founded truly upon this rock. And the things that they are founded upon fail. And I think that's one of the things that disease, violence, disruption in governments, these things show us that all these other things fail. They do. You know, I marvel at the logic of behavior. How if you have something horrible that happens, somebody's murdered, as this, I was going to say young man, but he is to me because he is younger than I am, that died after being handled too violently by a policeman. And, you know, what's the obvious answer to that? What cures violence? Well, obviously, more murder, stealing, beating people. No. Where does this idea come from that we can overcome evil with evil? Evil, darkness, will always fail. In the end, it will always fail. And these things that come along in our life, and they disturb us, and I don't like them. But they wake me up to the truth. Everything else fails. But our Ebenezer, our stone of help, our Lord does not fail. Not in the past, not today, not in the future, not through all eternity. He will not fail. The word will continue even after the world itself goes away. I was going to say, you can't, that's something you can take to the bank. But you know what? The bank fails. But God does not fail. He does not fail. Where was I reading? I was in Psalm 103. We were reading all about these good things. And it fills my soul when I read about these and think about my own personal experiences with the Lord and how much He's blessed me through my life. I'm going to back up a little. I'm going to start at verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Do you understand what that means? Anybody want to volunteer? Huh? He forgives us over and over and over. And it is not without limits. It's not. He doesn't, though he's slow to anger, he doesn't hold it forever. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And I fear sometimes that because of his mercy and how long-suffering he is with us, what happens again? We begin to slumber. There's actually a Christian component of this slumber, you know, because I'm Christian. I belong to a church, and the church is a good church, and it's Christ Church, and that takes care of me. And he's always taking care of me. This obedience thing, there's forgiveness. You know, there's whole gospels built on this. This never-ending mercy. That no matter what we do, as long as we profess Jesus, we're safe. We're covered. But let's not go back to sleep. Let's not go back to the state that we were in before we were awakened unto the Lord. Let's not go back to that state of slumber. Out of, what do you call that? I'm Christian now. You know, I think it's actually a sneaky little pride that makes us think, yeah, I did it. I'm good. Done. He'll protect me forever. So I can do what I want. He'll forgive me. He's not dealt with us after our sins, so don't let that put you back to sleep. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenants, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. You know, I've always had to wrestle with the idea of titling a sermon, and I don't know what the title of this sermon should be, but what I wrote down is, God wins. God wins. His reign does not end. He's never overthrown. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in his strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. I want to jump over and read out of John, too, because I think that sometimes we just need the reminder. John 1:1, St. John, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read through 12. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of a light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so, as I speak to us, I kind of want to finish off with a few scriptures about this light that the Lord is. That component of light, our Ebenezer, our stone of help, that great light that no one else is. Let me go to Isaiah 28. Oh, good. It's still in here. Isaiah 28, I'm going to... let me start reading with verse 14. Wherefore, hear the words of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, ye have made a covenant with death and with hell, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. I want to talk about that a second. That sounds like an outlandish statement. You know, who says that? We have an agreement with hell. We're covered. When the scourges come, we'll be passed over. I've been in some unusual places in life. There's some things I don't really talk about much, because who would I talk with? I spent a time as... a dignitary. Does that sound weird? Come on, Jerry. Tell us the real story. Well, there was a real story. But when the FBI took me aside and they gave me a top security clearance and they told me I had to engage in international arms talks, I had to be ready to talk to the Walter Cronkites of the day in Europe, because the reporters were all around us. And everything that happened internationally, everybody wanted to know what we thought. And it was on the news. I went through one little meeting, a quiet little meeting. I didn't see any reason to participate. I didn't any more than walk out of that meeting, and they drug me to the side and they said, "What did we tell you? You better speak up." And from then on, I did. I was in NATO headquarters talking about conventional arms, talking about nuclear arms. We all went through and studied a book of Russian armaments, everything from their largest to their smallest ships, their submarines, all of their planes, their missiles, their bullets, everything, everything. And we talked about it. We talked about all the dangers for every country in Europe. I was with ambassadors. I was with the royalty of England, the lords. One of the meetings we had was in a place called Grocers Hall. Grocers Hall is a very exclusive, would you call it a men's club? That's only for men's royalty in England. The only woman who was allowed at that time to go in was Princess Diana. Then they let her go in on an honorary basis on one occasion. But you meet with these people and you start to realize these outlandish statements are not outlandish. People understand their power to be way beyond what it is. And it may be that they have power you and I will never comprehend. It may be that they have money that you and I will never comprehend. But those things are ultimately deceptive if you let them be. These people were above the law. And there was among them very good people. And there was among them very corrupt people. And yes, there was one particular ambassador, and I believe me, I wouldn't have said this about any of them except for this guy. I understood why he was in Iceland at the time and kind of on the map of political things. Because he must have had a lot of money, because he sure didn't have a lot of, he had more dollars than cents. I guess you'd say it that way. But I want to tell you that never feel exempt from this kind of misleading thought. It is in the world. You can think that because of your agreements and your power, you're above the Lord. And I don't, you may not even understand that, but these people had the power to say what was going to happen in a court, and it would happen. I'm talking about a court of law. It just boggled my mind. And some of them were my friends. But in the end, that Ebenezer, that stone of help, is the only power, the only light that it continues. The only thing that lasts. The only thing that if you fasten yourself to it, you will go on to a happy eternity. Verse 16, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Before I go on, what's a plummet? Well, what? Good. That's actually good. I know Adam, in particular, has expressed some reactions to some of the install jobs that he wonders if it's a tool that's ever used. let me see what I got here in my pocket. No. What's that? It's a level. It can be used because of, you know, this great tendency for gravity to pull the same way. It pulls the fluid to the bottom of these little cylinders so that the bubble stays at the top. And so you can tilt it, you can level horizontally, and it also has horizontal line ones that make it so that you can plumb things up vertically. But there's a much older tool, and it is the plummet, the plumb bob that Jay was talking about, and that this verse is talking about. It's very balanced. I've used it many times when I was trying to find a spot on the floor directly under a place on the ceiling. I mean, it's just like perfect for that. You wait till it holds still, and it's exactly vertically beneath it. It's a wonderful tool. But I believe that what it's saying here, what's it say he's going to hold that line to? What's he going to hold the plummet to? You want to look back at that verse? Sorry, I almost knocked my level over here. In verse 17, you probably didn't even know what verse I should have said. What verse am I talking about? But verse 17 says, "Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet." Judgment and righteousness. And the reason I want to stop for a minute is that these things can get off a plumb. Our judgment, our righteousness, easily gets off of plumb. It becomes, when everything around you seems to be corrupted, you need a plummet. We need the Lord. We cannot keep ourselves true without Him. And it says in John, and that's the reason I said it first, that He is the Word. And He was with God from the beginning. He was good from the beginning. He created all things, and He is that light, and He is that guide. He and His Father are one. So there's no confusion when Jesus speaks. He says that He speaks only the words of His Father. That's what He came to do. That's why He's called the Word. And the Word will go beyond the existence of the earth. It will pass away before the Word passes away. So we need that stone. We need that stone. I'm going to read out of 2 Nephi. What other things have we been given as an example of a guide that has to do with the Lord? I can think of a ball and compass that Lehi and his people carried that was called the Liahona, I believe. And it worked. It told them what way to go in the wilderness. It guided them. It talks about in 1 Nephi, the second chapter, talks about Nephi's vision, and then talks there about the rod of iron. And I've talked about now the plummet. But it's the Lord that will judge all of these things. And there's no convincing him. He gives to us. He gives to us. He gives us the law. He gives us his promises. He gives us his mercy. It's like the question that he asked Job, I believe. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Well, you know, we weren't. It was him. He knows and he sees. So when I consider this plummet, that all of our judgment, our righteousness, everything will be held up against Jesus, this stone, this plummet. I had an experience, and I don't talk about it a lot, but it means a great deal to me. It was an experience that I had when I was in Cincinnati, before I moved to Phoenix, and it was actually before I ever knew I ever would move to Phoenix. But I saw the likeness of the Lord. And the thing that I'm telling you about this for is he saw me. He saw me. There was no hiding. He knows my past. He knows my future. He knows my every thought. There is no hiding. I can't tell you. You know, that sounds like a frightening thing. I'm not sure when I've ever felt such comfort. To know that in his love, in his mercy, in his grace, he could see everything in me. And he showed me that the paths I was going to have to walk, he has already been there. He's already been through it all. And he will go with you. He told his disciples, he said, you know, lo, I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. This is not a frightening thing to have him put you to the plummet. It is your salvation. It's necessary. It's about repentance. It's about using these rods that he has given us, his spoken word, and really carefully making ourselves square. Not an easy job, is it, Adam? When all the world around you is crooked and nothing is flat or true, to try to put up some cabinets and try to make them square and not tipped, that's a job. This is the same. This is the same. It requires honesty. It requires sacrifice. Because all of us have our, maybe I don't speak well, all of us have our junk we carry. It's that process of laying down every weight, casting it aside, and running the race as He has given it to us. And being absolutely obedient to His will, to His will. So this thing, this being held to the plummet, to the level, to the rod of iron, take responsibility. I'm going to say something. I'm not going to say it yet, but it usually gets a lot of eyes rolling. So wait for it. I'm going to go to 2 Nephi first. Third chapter. Second Nephi, third chapter. I'm going to read 58 through 66. It's just the last part. I'm trying to be brief. It's just the last part of something that I would continue, that I would see as a personal prayer. There's so many important things in here to consider when you go before the Lord, the things that you would say to Him. But let me start with verse 58 and pick up the end of it. It says, Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way? But thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way with the way of mine enemy. O Lord, I have trusted in Thee. I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give to me, he will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock, and mine everlasting God. Amen. Make my way straight. Make my path straight before thee. We ask for these things, and often with the audacity not to grab a hold of the rod of iron. Make my way straight before me. Show of hands. Who can read? In a way, that was kind of a vote for responsibility. That was a vote for personal responsibility. I was very touched when I was in Yucatan this last time. It's been a while now. But there was somebody that was just working like crazy there for me. Every time I would preach, he had to interpret. And so when I wasn't preaching, he was preaching. So there was just like no rest for Jay. He had to work really hard while I was there. But we were in one particular service when it finally dawned on me, I'm slow sometimes, that every reading I would read, I'd give it to Jay and he would read it. And he'd have to, you know, read it in Spanish for them. And in this particular meeting where we were doing that, and I suddenly realized, wait a minute, And I asked, do any of you want to read? And this little girl, she bounced up. I mean, she wanted to read. And she read well. And I never got it back. They were sitting in their pew, and the next one over wanted to read the next verses. And they were so passionate about it. They're so excited to read God's Word. And I think sometimes here we're a little backward on those things. We're not volunteers a lot of the time. Some of you, I'm sure, are. But not anxious to stick our hand up. Not anxious to read. I don't think it would hurt us at all. And I think sometimes we're even lazy enough that who's supposed to bring us the gospel? You go to church on Sunday, you did your part, that's it. Your Sunday school teacher, your preacher, they're responsible to bring you God's word, and your responsibility is done. Is that right? No, it's not. But I want to tell you about a practice, something I'd like to use, and I would like for you to think about using it. And every one of you, everyone that can read, don't just bring your books, but do bring your books. And bring a notepad and take notes on every sermon. And go home and don't just read the red scriptures, read the chapters. It's like homework for a week, but you will grow. You will grow. And then come back. I should lay the responsibility on somebody else. Maybe Gary may point you out one day and say, hey, I want you to read. But I'm not above it. Engage in your salvation. Do not neglect it. Have the passion that they do, that these kids have in Mexico. And I want to finish by reading one last scripture. This is in Revelation 19. I'm going to start reading with verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his heads were many crowns, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the end, God wins. Have no question. But be with him when he wins. Be comforted that you will be held to the plummet, to his standard. Yes, he is merciful. And he's merciful through all time. But part of his mercy is his ability to warn us, to hold us to the line, to show us. And in the beginning, we got it. You know, it's like the best thing that ever happened in school. I didn't like school much. But when they ever told me that I was going to have an open book test, I was overjoyed. Oh boy, a chance. This is an open book test. He has given us the tools. And He is our Ebenezer, our stone of help throughout all time. God bless you.